Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Every time I come to English ministry, I have a feeling, have two feelings. Number one is a feeling of family, you know. Everybody's come close together, and also a family in God, you know, we can pray together, and that's wonderful. Another feeling I got that everybody is laughing, especially Paul, and it helped me release my nervous, because I'm a person is very nervous. Yeah. And I'm so thankful to be given the opportunity to preach and to share regarding the Messiah message with you together. And I would like to everybody grab a Bible. You know, I want you to read this three verses, not on the PowerPoint, you know, but on the Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. If you doesn't have a Bible, please do that right now. Let's read together, because that's a very important passage related to the subject we are talking about for this whole month. Yeah. And in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3, is talking about the Messiah, you know. And let's read together. Chapter 61, Isaiah, verse 1 to 3. Let's do it together. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called the mighty oaks in a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. Let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You, and we are so rejoiced today because we are preaching a message regarding our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Because of Him, our life will be different. Because of Him, our life will be changed. Because of Him, we have hope. Because of Him, the world can be turned for better, for from despair, from also for destruction to eternal life. We are so thankful for Him, and Lord, we just pray for this moment. We study Your Word. Let Your Holy Spirit to guide us, to illuminate us, to understand Your ministry. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that this month we are talking about the Messiah, and talking about His person, and talking about His mission, and also talking about ministry. I realized that last Sunday, Paul talking about His person, incarnation. And today we are focusing on His ministry. The passage I read it in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3, they are talking lots of things about the ministry of our Lord, the Messiah. He have been doing, He will be doing, and then, that's a great passage. So, but however, today, how can I, you know, talk about His ministry in a greater scope, in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes? I would like to narrow down to pick just one passage, very short passage, and about one specific thing, what Jesus did, the Messiah, among His ministry, you know, and what do we learn from this short passage, from this single ministry. So let's turn to, Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45, Mark. Our gospel according to Mark, and then we have this one in the PowerPoint too, right? Yeah, let's read it together, chapter 1, verse 40 and to 45 together, right? A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make us clean." Jesus was internet. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be cleaned. Immediately, the leprosy left him. He was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once. So, see that, don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news as a result. Jesus could no longer enter a town openly and stay outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is a very, very simple story. I believe that everybody knows it. Oh, and then I try to really dig out the insight from this passage and then share with you. Maybe you have been listening to this sermon before, but I believe that, I strongly believe that the Word of God is refreshing, you know, daily. If you keep on reading, every time you read, the Word of God really excited you. So that's what I'm going to do, and hopefully I can do a good job. Okay? I would like to focus three things. Number one, what are we going to do? The Lord is willing, even though nobody is. Thank you, Paul, because I put a not over there. Nobody is not. Okay. And second, the Lord is willing, even though I might disappoint him. Number three, I used the wrong thing. Okay. Number three, the Lord is willing, and will I be willing too? You know, from this couple verses. And I find out there's three points I'm going to share with you regarding, this passage. And number one, the Lord is willing even though nobody is. Why did I say that? Let's read these words. Let's read together. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. And I'm willing, he said, be clean. Yeah, this verse telling us about Jesus did a striking thing to us. And then I believe that nobody ever did that in the history. Because it happened that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. Right? That's what the verse tells. Why I say that? Nobody ever, probably in the history, did that kind of thing. We know, you know, the leper contagious a disease called the leprosy. And the leprosy was a horrible disease. You know, it would never get healed at the time of Jesus. And then we figure out that in history, you know, and no medicine or antibiotic was invented until 1940. Yeah, at that day. So at the time of Jesus, you know, and the leper, once he got sick, he was found leprosy. What would the society, what would the family do to him? Okay, he was isolated. He was kicked out of the family, even his dad and mom and the whole family. And also he was isolated, you know, from the society. He was put away from the community and living to the mountain in an area, you know, where the leper belonged. So from this point, we understand that, you know, the leper, you know, suffer not only physical pain because the disease never get healed. I mean, the disease, the germ will, you know, bite out the part of the body, even the skin, even the eye, and then until he died. So very painful and filthy, I mean, disease. And also that he suffered, I mean, psychologically, emotionally, and everybody, every normal man detached from him, even the family. So that's very, very painful. Not only that, you know, when he walking on the street, it happened, he had to do one thing. He had to shout to anybody get close to him, be, you know, unclean, unclean, unclean. That means never get close to me, you know. Otherwise, I might disease, my leprosy will pass it on to you. So that kind of a life you have to live. And according to the Bible, you know, if fortunately the leper was healed in the Old Testament, he was brought to the priest and for examination. What did the priest do? The priest just examined. Hey, this guy, the leper was healed. Is it true? You know, let us take a look. But the priest never touched the leper, right? And in case, well, the leper passed to the priest. But however, Jesus, at this time, you know, he touched, I mean, the leper, you know. Why he touched him? Why? The Bible said, Jesus was indignant. You know, Jesus was indignant. Another, I mean, Bible version talking about that. Jesus was moved with a great passion. That means indignant described that his passion is so strong, just like a person who feels so angry. You know, this is the description, you know, about Jesus' passion. So, in other words, why Jesus is willing to touch, I mean, the cleanness, to clean him, not only by words, but also by his hand, you know, because he loved the leper, and he loved him, you know, so his love motivated him to do that. I believe that his love is greater than any love in the world, because nobody touched this guy, right? You know, and so how did the leper feel? The leper feels so great. The leper feel, the leper was immediately healed by his power. And then and also, we believe that, you know, if I were the leper, oh, I was never touched by anybody since I got leper. And right now, the Messiah, Jesus, come to touch me, not only heal me. How do I feel? I feel empathy. I feel, you know, I feel healed. I have a feeling of being isolated. I have a feeling of alienation, you know, from the society. You know, right now, Jesus healed me spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So from now on, he can go back to the society. He can go back to the friends where he missed, you know. And more important than that, he understand that his sin was cleansed. Because leprosy is symbolized a sin, you know, the sin in the Old Testament. So this guy is completely healed, completely changed, you know. So from this verse, we can tell the Messiah is willing to help us, even though nobody is. Even in this world, you know, nobody can help you or is willing to help you. But remember, this passage, this story telling us that Jesus is willing to help you. Have you ever encountered a situation nobody is willing to help you? You know, remember, Jesus is willing. This is the first point. The second point, the Lord is willing, even though I might disappoint him. Let's read together. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus no longer entered a town openly, but stayed outside in a lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Is it true? I mean, the Lord is willing, even though I might disappoint him. I mean, this guy got healed by Jesus, and then he feels so excited. But Jesus gave him a warning. Hey, when you get healed, do one thing. Go to the priest and show the priest that you are get healed, you know, and following the rules of Moses. You know, this is a procedural, put him back into the society. And never, never tell anybody you get healed, okay, before you see the priest. I think Jesus is following the rule, following the law of that society. He's doing the right job, right? But however, this guy, what happened to him? He didn't listen to Jesus. He said, oh, the Lord did a great thing to me, you know, and then nobody touched me in my life. You know, my leprosy, you know, get removed. I believe that nobody in history at that time, his disease got healed. She's so excited. We can understand, right? Right? But however, what he did, is it was good to Jesus or not? No good, right? No good. Because this verse is very, very, he did something very contrast to what Jesus tell him not to do. And then he openly, publicly spreading the news of, his testimony to the other people. I think we encourage people to share your testimony, like just like people get baptized, you share your testimony to in front of people. That's great news. That's good thing to do. But sometimes you have to watch the timing. You know, you won't do something like waking up, you know, in the midnight, a friend calling him up, I tell you about my life conversion, you know. It's not a good timing, you know. This here, Jesus doesn't want him to do it now because Jesus has his plan to go into the city. Like right now he did it and then everybody come to Jesus and you block his plan to go into the city to do his ministry. Right? Okay, here is the question. The question is that, would Jesus know this guy doing that kind of thing before he performed the miracle? Yes or no? Yes, okay. And if yes, because Jesus certainly know. He is the Son of God. He know all things. He know what you think in your heart, your mind, and your behavior, everything he know. But however, why Jesus still willing to perform this miracle to him? What's your explanation? I mean, Ruby? I cannot find any explanation, but only one thing. His love, the answer is to that is that his love is unconditional. Right? His love is unconditional. He is willing, even though I might disappoint him. Yeah, there's lots of examples, you know, in the Bible talking about like that. You know that? If you study the Bible, study Luke chapter 16, you know, you remember that? There are a team of leprosy. 10 people to come to Jesus. Jesus, have mercy on me, please heal me. And then, what did Jesus do? Jesus doing the same thing. Jesus didn't touch them because those guys was in a hurry. Jesus said, okay, go. Go to the priest and show yourself to the priest and you get healed. And those people, those 10 lepers walk away to see the priest. But before they are reaching the priest and they find the leprosy was gone. And then what happened? One of the 10 guys come back and tell to Jesus, Jesus, thank you so much. Hallelujah. You are really doing a great job. And then heal me. What did Jesus say to him? How about the other 9? Right? How about the other 9? You said 10 people. You said, I think I healed 10 people. Only you coming back to say thanks to me. Right? The other 9, very busy. Oh, I get healed. I go back to see my folks. You know, probably they forgot to come to Jesus to say thank you. And lots of things need to do. Lots of program keep on running. You know, for his new life. However, they didn't come back to say thanks to Jesus. In a normal life, if you did something great for your person, for your friend, do you expect he return, even say a thank you to you? If he didn't say thank you to you, would you feel disappointed? Yes, right? You're a human being. I did great job for him, and he even didn't come back and say thank you to you. You understand? Or your puzzle, okay, my answer. You also look at the scripture when Jesus feed 5,000 people and with the bread. And then they well fed. And then later on when Jesus talking to them, giving them more teaching, hey, you really believe me? I'm the bread of life. And then the people turn him away. You know, And then nobody will follow Jesus about the crowd except the 12. Will Jesus disappoint at those people? I mean, what in other words, would those people disappointed in Jesus? Jesus feed them. You know, at least they come to say thank you and appreciate what Jesus did and then going further to understand what he's teaching me. But those people left. My point is that if that kind of cloud, maybe I save my energy, I'm not performing the miracle of feeding 5,000. Will you do that? You know, today we do lots of evaluation, you know, lots of crowd coming in and we do this program, and yet the crowd turning in and then not appreciate you, you know, would you like to do that again? Probably not. But the question here, we show that Jesus is still willing to do it, even though I disappoint him, even though we might disappoint him. In your Christian life, sometimes Jesus loves you and saves your life and give you abundant eternal life, give you lots of graces. But however, sometimes we disappoint him. But Jesus still loves us, still did that kind of thing for me. Why? It's the only one thing. His love is unconditional. Do you agree? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Definitely yes. The law of the love of the Messiah, I mean, is unconditional. God showed his love to us, to love the world. He wants us to get eternal life and not perishing. That kind of love is unconditional. This is the second point. And the third thing, the Lord is willing. And will I be willing to? Let's read together. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knee. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Probably this point is the most important to you, to us, to the Christian and to non-Christian today. And here is talking, this verse talking about that. If the Lord is willing, when the guy asked, Lord, are you willing? The Lord said, I'm willing. But today this passage asking, you know, I mean, bring it back to you. If the Lord's willing, are you willing? Just like this leprosy, like this leper guy said. So from this verse, we can know this guy, you know, what kind of guy this is. I would like to say he is a man of great faith, right? How do we tell? He come to Jesus. He is brave. I said that. You know, we do not know how can this guy reach Jesus. Probably in the other gospel, according to Matthew, Jesus went down from the mountain. Probably he is Jesus where he doing ministry between the borderline of the leper village and the community village. So he can hear about Jesus and walk over there, and then he breaks through all the barrier and then knelt down before Jesus and say, Jesus, if you are willing, please cleanse me. And then he's talking about that, you can make me clean. That means that if you are willing, definitely you will do the job. You will make me my leprosy healed. He has no doubt about Jesus' capability of doing that kind of job. So he has strong faith, and the faith shows by his action and works. I tell you, this is what the leper did, so he got to respond, I mean to get healed. This is the reason. Here, I have a question for you. How come only one leper come? Huh? Not two, not three, not four, or even 10? Is it because there's no leper, only one leper in the Israelite today, that day? What do you think about it? Huh? Right? We strongly believe that more than one leper, right? Okay, there's a village over there. But however, this leper only hear about Jesus is coming. But how about the other leper? Didn't show up. What's the reason for that? Have you ever thought about it? I never thought about it until I studied the scripture again and again. There are many reasons for that. I think one of the possible reasons, not the reason that they did not hear about it, and then the other leper knew about it, probably this guy have a lot of discussion with his friend. Hey, Jesus is coming. Would you like to join me to go to ask Jesus for healing? Nobody follow him. Only healing. Why other people don't follow him? I think one of the reasons, I believe that the other lepers have no faith in Jesus. Do you agree with me? Maybe the lepers say, hey, my disease is so strong and so small, and nobody in history can heal my leper. How about this golden Messiah? Can he do something with me? I don't trust it. I don't believe it. So, save my trade. I stay home. My destiny, just like that. I have no hope. This is my life. There's no way to change. I tell you, I will show you the evidence what I'm saying is right. Remember, in the day of Elijah, okay, and the Bible said, Jesus said, in the day of Elijah, there's lots of lepers in the Israelite. However, no leper get healed, except only one person. That person is not Israelite leper. That person is a Syrian general who's Naaman, who came to Elijah, Elijah, please heal me. And he got healed. That's the comment of Jesus making about that when he was cast out by his, native country. Nobody wanted to listen to Jesus because he said he was the Messiah. Who are you, Jesus? You are the son of the carpenter. Who did you? I kicked you out. That's what the Bible said. And Jesus made a comment. I understand. You guys have no trust in me. Just like at the day of Elijah, you know, and then Elijah is a great prophet of God, and he performed double miracles at his teacher, Elijah did. Elijah is a great prophet. But after Elijah gone, and Elisha did 10 times, did double times of the miracles of his teacher did. In other words, he not only can heal the leper, he also can raise men from death. Such a great prophet. Yet, however, the spiritual condition is so bad in Israelite, and nobody wants to put trust in God. So this is the problem of the other lepers. Today, do you have any problem? You know, situation like the leper guys have? A serious problem you cannot handle. But today, the Messiah said, I'm willing. How about you? I come to bring the good news to the world. If we are willing, and then we'll get a blessing from the Lord. The Bible said very clearly, without faith, is nobody can please God. Whoever believes in him and come to him, God definitely will reward him. I mean, the reward him means a lot of things, can give him strength, can give peace to overcome the situation, and also to remove the things of the difficult situation completely. Recently, last Wednesday in the prayer meeting, one of the sisters in the Mandarin congregation shared a testimony among us. She said, I thank you, the Lord, because of the faith, God performed a miracle in my life. What did she say? She is a Christian about 7 years, almost 7 years. And then a couple years ago, she got a tumor in her body. And for some reason, she doesn't want the tumor removed. And the tumor is growing. And then she feels pain. And she don't know how to do. But however, she is a Christian. She has doubt about the power of Jesus Christ. She doesn't believe that she will get healed by praying. You know, until one day, she listened to the word of God through a preacher in the pulpit, and she repented. The Lord is Messiah. The Lord is mercy. If He is willing, He can perform a miracle in my life. The word touched her and kept on murmuring in her heart, and she couldn't go to sleep. And during the midnight, she fell down before the Lord and crying before the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me. Even though I claim I become a Christian, but I have a very, very strong, my faith is so fumble before you. Lord, now I trust you. You will heal me if you will." And then after praying, he laid down his hand above on her stomach. "In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask your help. You are willing. Help me." You know what happened? After the prayer, the pain is gone. And then somebody say, "Well, it's a psychological problem, you know. It's not real." But after a couple days, after a month, he went to see the doctor, have an ultrasound, and then her tumor was completely removed without any reason. God did perform a miracle to her. God can do something. God can really reward you. I mean, that's the word of the Messiah. I mean, the hand who touched the leper, the hand who nailed the cross for you, who shed the blood for you. He loved you. He loved us. His love is unconditional. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And then yet today, he comes to you. You have any problem. You have any situation. You cannot help. Put trust in him. And then definitely he will open a avenue for you. I'm not talking about everybody get this, will get healed, but I guarantee you, everybody come to you who will reward you. I will tell you another miracle happened. That's totally different. You know, you never heard about this story in your life, probably. Have you ever heard about a person without two kidneys and functioning? When you heard this sentence, you feel scared. We have a member, church member, without two kidneys and functioning. He need to go to the dialysis, blood dialysis, 3 times a day. And yet, she had lots of problems, but she come to Sunday worship every Sunday with a smile, and nobody detect she had that kind of disease. Why? She put the trust in God, and God give him strength, got him power, got him love, and he can cope with the situation, and yet her life can impact so many people. We are not talking about physically our family problem, and also talking about our ministry. Last month, September 17, we have a united prayer meeting in Fifth Hall. We have about 150 people gathered together. Probably I shared with you already before. You know, this great meeting was sponsored by Sixth Home. Originally, it shouldn't belong to Sixth Home because we had done this job before, and then, however, in this year, nobody wanted to do it. And we realized that the job is so important. So really, I really emphasize in prayer. I so appreciate that Paul and Nadine taking the leadership and ask you guys to pray, because this is the very vital ministry. I mean, we can get, you know, to experience God's power. At that time, we almost give up. We are busy. Every church is busy or in something. But united prayer is so important. When we pray together, we can see God's great thing happen. I mean, in the churches. Yeah. And so, another 5 churches cannot do it. And 2 of the big churches say, "Hey, we cannot even bother to get involved. We are so busy." You know, sometimes we heard this story of this statement, we feel so sad. You know, but however, I give a statement to my prime minister team, okay, go and pray for 2 weeks and to see how you guys thinking doing. If we want to do it and do it, if not, probably it's not the Lord's will. And then that's, I follow your direction. You know, after 2 weeks, you know, the answer to me say, Pastor, let's go and do it. No problem. And then you know what happened? Through this couple months coordination, we find out we not only have, I mean that, you know, 4 churches, we're saying about 6 churches, 2 churches among 6 churches left out, right? But right now, we are not only have 4 churches, we have 6 churches, we have 7 churches, all together, gather together in 6 Hong, in 5 Hong and pray. And because God really help us to break through lots of obstacles and then bring a great valley of prayer. And that 2 church original reject the idea, they have the full pastoral staff and elder come, and the other churches have lots of people to support. This is the miracle happening. So in other words, this is the good news of the Messiah. He is willing, but the question that, are we willing? How do we are willing? It will show by our trust in God. We will write to say, Lord, help us to learn from the leper. He knelt down before you, he said, Lord, you can do it. You can do it because you are God of resurrection. You are God of the universe. You have all the power. Heaven in earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message, because the message is not from me. The message is from your word. And we pray that, Lord, give us have the faith like the leper. Lord, you are the Messiah. You bring the ministry to this world. You want to turn the world upside down from worse to better, from perishing to eternal life, from life to abundant life. We thank you so much. We ask your name in Jesus Christ. Pray. Amen.